Hello and welcome to the Opening Bell podcast. I'm not Matt Christie. He is taking a well-earned break, so you're stuck with me, John Denham, and special guest Nick Bond, the world's leading expert on Miguel Cotto, the longest-serving member of the Boxing News team. You've been here for 10 glorious years.
No, 12.
12 glorious years.
Yeah, I lost count, but yeah, quite a long time.
Too long?
Who knows? It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, mate.
Thanks for coming in. So big news this week.
It's been a hell of a week.
It's been, each week seems to get slightly weirder than the last week. We had Liam Smith fighting Canelo, which sort of makes sense. I think we weren't really expecting it. Then last week...
It makes sense compared to this, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so last week we had it announced that Kell Brook was stepping up two weight divisions to fight Gennady Golovkin. Is that madness?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see that coming, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. We were sitting there poised to write about Golovkin fighting Eubank. It's quite a surreal day, as you remember, last Friday afternoon. We were graced by Lloyd Hannigan's presence, which in itself is quite surreal.
It's lucky we weren't podcasting last Friday, because we were entertaining Lloyd Hannigan.
Yeah.
But it's quite lucky, because if we had been, we'd have been talking about Golovkin Eubank Jr.
Yeah, we would have missed this. I mean, Hannigan is a real character, as everyone knows or should know. And it's quite ironic that he should be here, because he's the architect of, you know, British boxing's greatest upset victory. And here we are, talking about can Kell Brook eclipse that?
If Kell Brook beat Golovkin, how great an upset would that be?
I think this would, you know, be the one. I mean, not only is he fighting what some people say Golovkin's the best fighter in the world, although he hasn't had the opposition to prove that yet. So not only is he fighting this guy who some people do think is the best boxer, he's also one of the most feared boxers, but he's also two divisions bigger than him. I mean, Brook's got it all to do, that's for sure. It would be the biggest upset, certainly in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
you get upsets where you have people in the same division, a la Hannigan, Curry, you know, Tyson, Buster Douglas. They're upsets, but for a guy to jump up two weight divisions to beat, you know, Golovkin's probably in his prime. He's not young, is he? But he's not an old pro. He's not had a long career, although he's mid-30s. He's probably in his prime, and to dethrone him would be a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, because you mentioned Golovkin hasn't really had the opposition, but maybe in his case they have been avoiding him, or at least picking other options for their career. Like, we've seen Canelo vacate the WBC title.
Yeah, I mean, it's ironic, we've spoke about it, that, you know, we'd like to see Kell Brook, Liam Smith and Canelo Golovkin, or Khan Brook and Canelo Golovkin, but we get these instead. We kick around each week, don't we, the whole middleweight rankings debate, and that's a point of contention. Is Golovkin the best middleweight? He probably is, but he just hasn't fought the people to prove that.
Yeah, because we've got Canelo as number one. He's the man.
Yeah, he's the lineal best middleweight, although he's moving back down to the light middleweight,
super welter. And he's never fought at middleweight.
No, although he's fought above light middleweight, above super welterweight, so he has effectively fought at middleweight, but he hasn't weighed in at the middleweight limit. So he is a middleweight per se, but I think everybody kind of agrees that Golovkin's the best middleweight, although he just hasn't had the opposition. But they say Kell Brook is Golovkin's best opponent, yet he's a welterweight, so that kind of backs that theory up.
But is he Golovkin's best opponent? Like, you know, if Kell Brook fought David Lemieux or Martin Murray, wouldn't you pick Lemieux or Murray because of the size advantage? I mean, two whole divisions.
That's a hell of a question. You know, would you pick Kell Brook over Chris Eubank? Well, they'd fight at middleweight. I don't know. Certainly, talent-wise, achievement, Kell Brook is the best Golovkin's faced, but he's just two divisions smaller than him.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not sure if...
Is he not the biggest challenge? Was that the question? He might not be the biggest challenge, but he's certainly the best fighter he's fought.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Kell Brook is a very, very good welterweight. He's not... In our rankings, we presumably have Tim Bradley as the number one welterweight. Because Kell Brook hasn't had the fight. Kell Brook's actually in a sort of similar situation to Golovkin at welterweight. His best opponent's been Sean Porter. He really wanted Amir Khan or Danny Garcia or someone who would be a defining fight.
Well, welterweight is a really good division, and there's three, maybe four fighters in that division who would claim to be the best. Garcia, Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, Tim Bradley. So that's a really good division, and we'd love to see Kell Brook against any of those guys. But we get this.
But is this a bad idea? As in, I know it's a big fight. You only have to look at the level of interest it's got. On our website, you can just see the figures of people who want to read about this.
Yeah.
Kind of, maybe part of that is the surprise shock value. But is it a bad idea for people to be going up two divisions straight into a world title fight?
It's kind of a win-win situation from Brooke's perspective. He'll be thinking, going into the fight, thinking, I can beat Golovkin. But if he comes out of it as the loser but doesn't take a beating, he's shown himself to be a warrior, etc. And he's in the spotlight, isn't he? People all over the world will know him. His profile will have raised. The only bad side would be if he does take a beating.
Yeah, or he could get really hurt.
Yeah, he could. I mean, but,
I know he's going to get well paid for it. I just still think... It's a bad idea. Yeah. I think it's too dangerous. I know there have been great upsets in the past. I know you've had sort of similar situations of people jumping up in weight. But, maybe I'm too... I don't know, maybe it is too risky, in this day and age, in the modern sport. Maybe boxing has to be a little bit more regulated.
History isn't on this side, is it? I mean, we've seen over the years that the good big man always beats the good little man, and we expect this to be the same. It makes money, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's going to be a massive event, a massive fight. The Eubanks, by all accounts, are quite difficult to deal with. So Golovkin had to look elsewhere, and Eddie Hearn's pulled this one out, and it's got everyone talking.
Yeah, but I just wonder sometimes if they're should be like a third party who would say this is actually too dangerous, this is too much of a mismatch.
Yeah, but how do you regulate that? At what point do you say that? I mean, Kell Brook would argue the case, wouldn't he? Who's to say it's too dangerous? Why is it too dangerous? Because of the size, or?
Yeah, because they're weight divisions for a reason.
Yeah. But it's not to say that one boxer has to stay in one weight division, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but should you be able to leap straight up into a world title fight without even a tune-up at middleweight? Because then wouldn't it leap, even if it was just, even if he was boxing some middleweight, he was going to lose, a typical journeyman, at least he would be having one bout to get acclimatised to the weight, the added... bulk and strength.
You'd have to ask Kelbrook's team that. Should he have had a fight, dipped his toe in the middleweight water, and seen what it's like? And I'm sure they'll say no. We're confident we can win this.
Yeah. But also, I suppose the problem with the business of the sport is when you're a big name and a world champion like that, you don't really mess around with fights that you don't get well paid for.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, obviously, there's a chance that he could slip up. I don't see any major problem with the fight myself. I think it was a really good event. It will be a good event, and it's great for us in this country to have Golovkin over here. Kell Brook is, he's a world champion, rightly so. He's a very, very good boxer, very good fighter. He's tough. Might be too tough for his own good in this one, but we'll see. Had they made the fight, you know, like what Khan Canelo, they made that at 155 pounds, didn't they?
Yeah.
Had this fight been made at that, I mean, would people still be saying it shouldn't happen? What do you think?
I mean, they'd still see Golovkin as an overwhelming favourite.
Yeah.
And Brooke does seem bigger at welterweight than Amir Khan. He is a very big welterweight, but it just the way, you know, it's more the way Canelo knocks out Khan. Like, he didn't knock him cold, and it was quite frightening when Khan was sort of stretched out on the canvas, and it did make me think. You know, I was, when Canelo was made, I was excited about it because it was a surprise like this, two big names, a big event. But then after he was like not cold, I did think, in hindsight, was this a great idea?
But the flip side to that is he's been knocked cold by people his own size, hasn't he? Danny Garcia knocked him out, Prescott knocked him out. They weren't bigger men.
But then against Canelo, he was always going to get knocked out in the soon as Canelo, you know, over 12 rounds, Canelo was going to catch him, and when he caught him, Canelo's a big puncher, you know, at middleweight.
Going into the fight, I'm sure Khan and his team were 100% confident they'd win. I don't get that feeling. With Khan Canelo, like you say, there's always is Khan going to get chinned? But with this one, I don't get that feeling. I feel this isn't as shocking a fight to make. Although we are shocked by it, but when Canelo Khan was made, it was like, whoa.
Do you think Brooke can win? Because Golovkin's an even bigger puncher, pound for pound, than I'm not asking whether I'm asking, like, does he actually have a chance?
If you think about the fight quite closely, my theory is that if Khal Brook was a natural middleweight, same size as Golovkin, would I pick him to beat Golovkin? Probably wouldn't. It would be a really, really good fight, but I'd still pick Golovkin over him. So the fact that he's probably two divisions smaller just reinforces the fact that I think Phil Golovkin will win. I can't envisage a situation where Brooke would beat him.
Do you think skill wise Golovkin's better?
Well, that's the thing. Golovkin
bigger as well.
Yeah, he's not one dimensional, is he? Although his bad intentions have bad intentions. He's that kind of guy, isn't he? The pressure he put on Martin Murray was just incredible.
Macklin as well.
And these are good, big, solid guys who fought at world level. And if he puts that pressure on Khal Brook, I can't see Brook staying with him, to be honest. Even if he was at the same size. But it'd be interesting to see what they weigh fight night. Will Brook come in heavy? Will he stay light? Look to use his speed? It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because they had a press conference yesterday in New York, so they were like head-to-head. Golovkin seemed a little bit taller, not massively taller, but he did look bigger, like he looked broader, and this probably sounds stupid, but Golovkin's head just seemed bigger than Khal Brook's head.
He's a naturally bigger guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And also, you never know at press conferences, like, do they wear
platforms?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying Brook is, I've no idea, but
Jack Johnson, Stanley Ketchell, the press conference, Stanley Ketchell wore platform shoes to appear bigger than what he was. Yeah. He wore a long jacket to hide it. it just depends what they come in at. I've forgotten what I was going to say then.
What they're going to weigh in when they actually fight, because of the IBF title, they're not allowed to be more than whatever it is, 10 pounds over.
Yeah, I mean, you look at different pictures, and like you were saying, that they give different impressions, but Golovkin isn't a really tall middleweight, and he's fought big, strong, natural middleweights, so for people to say that Brook is the same size, that's great, but Golovkin's used to beating bigger people than himself, bigger people than Brook, so... maybe height-wise, they're similar size for sure.
Yeah, but I did think Golovkin seemed the bigger man. Yeah,
I mean, Brooks a sharp puncher, isn't he? It'd be interesting to see what happens when he does hit Golovkin. who hasn't shown any weaknesses chin-wise, has he?
Yeah, well, he's even let people hit him.
Yeah. I mean, he brings that intense pressure that means he's going to be in range to be caught. That, there's no doubt about that, but he's not. He's shown to be sturdy. Brook is a sharp puncher who, you know, carries some weight behind his punch, and it will be really interesting to see what happens. Can he budge Golovkin? Can he deter him?
Yeah, because I think with some opponents whose power Golovkin respects, he doesn't let them hit him. Like, I don't remember Lemieux landing anything on Golovkin. I thought Golovkin just kind of destroyed him with his footwork
and his jab. His jab, yeah. I mean, that sort of backs up our other theory that he isn't a one-paced, one-dimensional slugger. He can box, and he's had an extensive amateur career. His subtle movements, he feints, and like you said, his jab is sensational. It looks to be a long night for Cal.
Yeah, well, or a short night.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Golovkin, he does have this sense of drama, as in, you know, the big drama shows, and he does want to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
Because, some foreign fighters, like Golovkin's getting bigger and bigger in America.
Yeah.
And I think that's because he does make his fights exciting. Some foreign fighters, Guillermo Rigondo's a case in point, maybe brilliant, but there's no real sympathy for entertaining. He just wins. Whether you enjoy it or not, it's kind of not his problem. Whereas Golovkin, with guys whose power he doesn't respect, he'll give him a free shot to sort of show his chin. He'll let them hit him as he comes on, and he can even knock people out whilst he's being caught, which he did against Gill.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like HBO are using Golovkin to sort of fill the Pacquiao void. He's sort of this foreign superstar, exciting, knocks people out. Hugely popular, so that they're looking to build him, make the most out of him while he's around. Because, like we said, he's in his mid 30s. He's a huge star.
Yeah, I mean, we've probably spoken about Canelo fighting Golovkin a million times.
Yeah.
But I'm not bored of it yet. I still think it's got to happen.
Well, they've kind of had a verbal agreement to fight next year,
relatively late next year.
Changes by the. By the day and by the week, doesn't it?
I mean, do you think Golovkin fighting Brook is kind of the same or similar to Canelo fighting Khan?
It's similar, yeah. I think we've also spoke about Brook fighting Khan and how we'd see that fight. And pre-Canelo, we were kind of favouring Khan slightly. Obviously, post-Canelo, you'd look to pick Brook.
Because it was more, I was thinking, fighting Khan doesn't seem to have got Canelo any closer to Golovkin.
No.
And I don't. Is fighting Brook going to get Golovkin any closer to fighting Canelo?
Well, they've both come in for stick, haven't they?
Yeah.
Canelo and Golovkin for fighting the smaller guy. Rightly so or not, I don't know. Will it get him close? Yeah, I mean, we all expect him to win. It's a marquee fight, marquee name. It's just keeping him busy until Canelo, hopefully.
Yeah, I suppose in theory, if they keep winning, then eventually they'll creep towards a fight. They've just got to keep winning, and with these kind of fights, I mean, they surely will.
I can imagine that Golovkin and his team were expecting to fight Eubank probably up until relatively recently.
Yeah.
Because there was contracts withdrawn, etc. Yeah, well, how do you see this fight compared to the Eubank fight for Golovkin?
Think just because Eubank's a middleweight, that seems a fairer fight to me, even though just, you know, Brook has accomplished more, is the more skillful fighter, is by far the more complete fighter. I think Eubank's, I'm not sure his boxing, as in terms of his like boxing skills and boxing brain, have actually come on from when he fought Billy Joe. Though he is physically strong, he does throw fast combinations
incredibly
of punches.
Incredibly fit.
Yeah, exactly. But they're just at times he sort of, and I enjoy watching him because especially I enjoy his showboating, the crazy things he does. But he does seem to sort of, you know, punch him too far out, get himself out of position. So I wouldn't fancy his chances at all against Golovkin. But he is a match for him physically,
yeah,
and has this complete faith in himself.
Yeah, that kind of almost borderline arrogance is a good thing, and you kind of need it at that level. Yeah, physically he's a match for anyone at middleweight. I think a lot of people would kind of see that as a closer fight, purely because of the size. I think a lot of people do expect Golovkin to win this fight, and rightly so. But Brook, like you said, is the better fighter. Certainly better boxer.
And while Golovkin's fighting Brook, next stop for Canelo is Liam Smith.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a better fight than the Amir Khan fight? Not as high profile a fight.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? There's so many different factors to weigh up. Liam Smith is certainly more sturdy. He's a bigger boxer, less mobile, a little bit slower, but less miles on the clock. Yeah, it's an interesting fight. I mean, I can't make a case for Liam Smith to win it, to be fair, but...
Well, I think you can make a case for it to be entertaining, because yeah. I think Liam Smith is going to fight him at his own game, Canelo's fight.
Yeah, I would say it's more competitive. It should be more competitive, yeah.
Because I think there's a certain logic to it. If Canelo's not going to fight Golovkin, at least he can say for the time being, I'm actually a super welterweight. And Liam Smith, you know, he is a world champion.
Yeah, I mean, the fight has to be made. He has to fight. Liam Smith has to fight the best available at the weight. And so does Canelo, if he's going to be a super welterweight, so that the fight makes sense. Yeah, I mean, slightly worrying for the future of the Golovkin-Canelo fight. I mean, if Canelo sees his future at middleweight, surely he should be fighting middleweights. It's certainly something to think about.
But hopefully how it might go is you can sort of justify this fight, because it's a super welterweight against world champion. After this, Canelo can move to middleweight properly and hopefully fight Billy Joe Saunders.
What do you mean properly?
As in, so he can jump actually for having a 160 fight at 160
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, but so I understand that, but I don't see the logic of dropping down just to pick up Liam Smith's title, assuming that's the plan for Canelo, and then vacating to go back to middleweight. I don't understand the logic of that myself. I would imagine that he would stay, hang around at middleweight, fight fringe contenders. You know, Canelo Lemua would be a real good ding-dong, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but
what I was thinking was
for him to be in world title fights.
Yeah.
You know, so he...
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, why not fight Billy Joe now? Maybe it's...
Canelo
Billy
point.
Joe, let's do it.
How do you see that fight? How do you see that fight? Like, is Billy Joe up there with the Canelos of this world?
I'd pick Canelo, but Billy Joe knows his way around the ring, doesn't he? He's, you know, he can box, he can fight. Yeah, he would certainly make it competitive. It wouldn't be a one-sided fight.
So I think that fight is on the cards. I think the plan, such as it is for Billy Joe to be on the undercard,
yeah,
with an eye on the winner of Liam Smith Canelo.
Yeah, but I can't see them making Liam Smith Billy Joe, assuming Liam Smith wins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you've got, there's so much to think about, isn't there, with the Eubank factor, because Billy Joe Eubank, can they do that again?
Yeah, they've been trying to do that rematch for Billy Joe's world title, because they fought for whatever it was, the European, British, and Commonwealth, maybe. But, you know, and that's a lucrative fight, and they haven't managed to make it yet. So I don't know where Eubank Jr. is going to go, because they've really dug themselves into a hole.
Yeah, I think there's more uncertainty surrounding Canelo, because we don't quite know where his future lies or at what weight. I think Billy Joe could certainly target Golovkin. I'm sure Golovkin would, you know, entertain him.
Yeah, and especially with Golovkin fighting his next fight in the UK, he'll be, you know, that fight will catch on, and Golovkin will be a big name over here.
Yeah.
After Brook.
Yeah, there's no real reason why they can't make that. Yeah.
So we've got these plucky British underdogs. We've got Kell Brook taking on at the best you could find in Golovkin. We've got Liam Smith, you know, taking on around his way. And this weekend on Saturday, we've got Jazza Dickens fighting Rigondo, Guillermo Rigondo in Cardiff, of all places.
Yeah.
Of those three plucky Brits, who's got the toughest job on their hands?
You can say that Liam Smith, Kell Brook are more accomplished, a higher standard, aren't they? So that you can make the case that they have a better chance than Dickens. Rigondo is just, he's an enigma, isn't he? But he's, as far as pure boxer goes, you struggle to find a better one. You know, Kid Galahad's picked Jazza Dickens, didn't he? You know, in his expert view, and his argument was that Rigondo can grow old. You know, he's looked a bit shaky around the chin.
He's been dropped a few times in his career.
He's been dropped, but then he's
so hard to hit.
He's so hard to hit, but he's not young. But as far as pure boxing goes, he's one of the greatest ever, probably. Southpaw, he's a genius, but frustrating one, as you alluded to earlier. If you're not into pure boxing, he can be frustrating to watch. I can't see a way Jazza beats him apart from, you know, chinning him, catching him, which is not beyond the realms of possibility. But
then, Ian, if you catch him once,
you've got to catch him
again. You're
not
going to catch him again, and then
you've got to nail him down. But you know,
I think he's starting. Well, he hasn't been that active, but just in appearance, I think he's starting to look a bit old.
I wonder if this is going to be like when he. Was the Irish kid?
Willie Casey.
Willie Casey, when he came over and boxed in Ireland, and when he's up for it, when he's got the bit between his teeth, he'll just go out there and just let it all hang out, and just. And I wonder if I kind of think he's going to do that this weekend.
Because he needs to, because he boxed on the Canelo Cotto undercard against, I think I'm getting the name right, Drian Francisco.
Yeah, the Philippine kid.
Not sure, but he didn't look. You know, it was a bit of a snooze fest. He needs to look excited.
I think with Rigondo, he's kind of a. It's in his head, isn't it? You almost think that he chooses to make it boring. Like on the Cotto undercard, he kind of has that arrogance that, you know, I'm just going to get in here and outpoint him. But if he really wants to, he can shift through the gears and look $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, far be it from me to comment on the mind of Rigondo, but he does seem embittered with the boxing business.
Yeah, I mean, you rarely see him crack a smile, which is quite funny.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, he never smiles.
Poker face. But he's just a genius. I remember he first caught my eye at the Sydney Olympics in the year 2000, I think he was about 19, and he was just breathtaking when he swooped the bantamweight gold for Cuba, and I think only lost one fight between then and turning pro. He was just sensational.
Who did he lose to?
A guy called Mamadov, I think, a Turkish guy, and it looked to be a bad decision in one of the worlds, I forget when, but I think he reversed it. But yeah, he was just breathtaking. You know, Gamboa avoided him, you know, Cuba. You know,
did he jump up?
Yeah, he went from flyweight to featherweight because Rigondo was at bantamweight, you know, and that sort of shows.
He
was untouchable. He turned pro probably too late and was very embedded in that amateur point scoring style.
But that's the thing, he hasn't been a bad pro in that he's effective in the ring and he won a world title very quickly and beat Nonito Donaire, utterly comprehensively.
A really good fighter, Nonito Donaire.
But where he sort of comes short is the business of boxing. Like, it doesn't seem like he's really treated it as a business and has fallen out of favour with his own promoter, with his TV broadcasters, which, you know, isn't fair and isn't right, but it's also the way things are.
The press in America have given him a tough time. You know, from being an all-time great amateur, which he was, to turning pro, you're kind of always going to be disappointed with him because he'll never be able to live up to the expectations of what he set as an amateur. But to do what he has done as a pro, you know, is pretty damn good anyway.
Yeah, but it's just a real shame he's been so inactive. And it's because of the business side of things and, you know, whatever else has been going on that he hasn't got the bouts he
managerial
needs.
Managerial promotional issues, isn't he?
Because has he only had 16 fights?
Yeah.
You know, that's why Anthony Joshua has had more fights than Rigondo now.
Yeah. You know, Cubans are famous for turning pro and sort of get seduced by the bright lights of America. So it's always up against him, but you know, he doesn't fight blood and, in that blood and thunder style, does he? So he can. There are a few years left in him. Just get him the big fights. Just get him the big fights. Like Daenerys, he showed that when he needs to, he can perform.
Yeah. You know, he might. I think he could well look good against Jazza, because I think Jazza Dickens is going to be really up for the fight.
Yeah.
And Jazza's pretty skillful, but I think he's going to come at him and be aggressive.
There's skills, and there's Rigondo skills, which are, you know, in the stars. Jazza's no mug. He'll come to fight, etc. But it would be a pretty big upset should Jazza win.
Would it be a bigger upset than Brook beating Golovkin?
I don't know.
It would be big. Am I old if boxers I was watching in the ABAs are now fighting for world titles, like Jazza, Charlie Edwards has got a world title shot?
I can raise that by saying people I saw win ABA titles have had pro careers and retired now. So, you know, Kevin Mitchell, Matthew Macklin, so...
All right, that comes to me. So you're even older.
Yeah.
It was a good show in Wales this weekend. There's not just Jazza. There's Liam Williams, Gary Corcoran, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
They've stacked the card. It starts at like 3:30 in the afternoon. So they've got Brandy Skeet on there, Tommy Langford. They'll probably win their fights. Terry Flanagan's defending his world title against Mazonke Fana, which is disappointing. Like, not a great.
Yeah, he's
not
really
a great opponent.
I mean, he fought Marco Antonio Barrera, I'm guessing 10 years ago. He's well past his sell-by date, but you know, he's experienced. Maybe he'll show Flanagan one or two things he's not seen before, but you know, Flanagan.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Kerry Hope is fighting Vijinder Singh in India.
Delhi, is it?
I'm not sure.
I think it's in Delhi, yeah.
But I actually think that's a pretty hard fight for Vijinder Singh, because he's going to be really, because of his he got an Olympic medal, done well in the Commonwealth Games. He's well known. He's India's most famous fighter by far.
Yeah.
But you know, as an amateur, he never had a great style for professional boxing, so he could suddenly have his hands full. Kerry Hope.
Yeah, it was a strange fight, but Kerry Hope's based in Australia, so they're billing it as some kind of Asian Pacific
team. Oh, right, yeah.
Kerry Hope's a decent fight for him, isn't it? Should tell us a lot about him.
Yeah.
What he's going to do. I mean, he's done everything asked of him so far, hasn't he? Seeing he's stopped a few people, hasn't he?
But
Kerry Hope will tell us more.
And it's a way of putting, because India doesn't really have professional boxing, it's a way of putting professional boxing on the map over there. And I think it's probably quite clever from like Box Nation, who've sort of signed
it's kind of business.
Yeah, exactly. I think it makes sense. And also, fighting on Saturday is Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion, who has Chris Arreola, whose chances I don't really fancy against Wilder. But do you reckon it could be an exciting fight?
You'd expect Wilder to get him out of there, because, I mean, Areola's not the most elusive boxer, is he? He's not Pernell Whitaker. He's there to be hit.
And I think he broke his ankle in March, which isn't that long ago.
No, it's not.
You know, and he got this at short notice.
Yeah, I mean, they've both publicly stated that Arreola doesn't deserve this shot, which is a strange bit of promotion from the fighters. It could be a fun fight, but, you know, there's only one winner there. Wilder's desperate for a big fight, isn't he? We need to see him with a name, you know, somebody who we can get a bit, you know.
Wilder's opponent challenges as a world champion have been
average
below best. Standard, yeah. But they haven't been boring fights. Like, I haven't been bored watching him because he didn't. He actually made them tougher than they ought to have been, and got them out of there with knockouts eventually. So I haven't been bored in any of his
defence of Wilder. A couple of the guys, Eric Molina and that Duhalpas, have actually gone on to get a good win, you know, beat half decent people. So they probably weren't as bad as what we thought. But we need to see him in with a decent name. I don't know who, but somebody.
I mean, what do you think of the heavyweight scene at the moment? Obviously, we've got Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and Deontay Wilder, all have versions of a world heavyweight title. Yeah. You're not a massive fan of there being four major championships going on?
No, I mean, I think we all know who the true heavyweight champion is.
Tyson Fury.
He beat the man who was the man. The others, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you can make the same case in any division where there's a guy who's won a title without really being at the top of the division yet.
The problem with Wilder getting a major fight is that you know, Klitschko, you know, he's bound up with his rematch with Klitschko, which was contractually
Fury.
It's bound up with his rematch with Klitschko. It's contractually obliged. He's been injured. It took a while for them to actually sort the rematch. That's been postponed even further. So Fury is pretty much out of the equation for the rest
Klitschko,
of the year.
Yeah,
so they're out of there. So there's Wilder and Joshua, but outside of them fighting each other, they're like, Povetkin has to sort of clear his name from his failed drug test, which they're, you know, his team are adamant that he's innocent. But are there any, what are the big fights? Because, you know, Joshua's team want him to fight Wilder later. They want it to be a pay-per-view in Britain and America.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, meaning we're talking 2017. I like Wilder Joshua as a fighter.
Yeah, who doesn't? I think we're all ready to see Joshua fight a decent opponent. I think Joseph Parker fits the bill. That, you know, that's a decent fight for Joshua and one, you know, we're all ready to see. Can they make the Wilder fight? Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
Because then where does Wilder go?
Yeah, I mean, outside of them, Joseph Parker is probably the one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's quite exciting, Parker, because Kubrat Pulev is good, though he was knocked out by Klitschko, and
he doesn't stir the juices.
Yeah,
does he?
Exactly.
I mean, we were all hoping that the Povetkin Wilder fight would have happened. That would have been a decent heavyweight fight, one that a few of us thought Povetkin would prevail in.
Yeah.
But that's been tarnished, hasn't it? And, yeah, I mean, hopefully Povetkin can clear his name, but who knows?
Yeah. But then, yeah, because it seems like there are a few top heavyweights, which is really good. So, like, with those big names, there's some exciting fights to be made. Yeah. But the problem is, it seems like between them, the top four or five, there's not a lot else to get that excited about.
There's a big chasm, isn't there?
I mean, you know, maybe Wilder should just fight Joseph Parker, and then Joshua could fight Stallone, because no one wants to see Stallone Wilder again.
The one name we haven't mentioned yet is, of course, Mr. Hay.
Oh, yeah.
Where does David Hay fit in all this? I mean, potentially he beats them all, doesn't he? You know, his power and speed, but...
Yeah.
You know, he wants a Joshua fight, doesn't he? I mean, he's had his obligatory two knockover wins after his hiatus. Let's put him in, you know, let's get him in the mix.
Yeah. And I'd like, you know, even Hay Wilder would be good.
Hay Wilder would be brilliant. Hay against any of the big names is a good, exciting fight.
Yeah, because you think, Hay Joshua, they're both British, they'll be massive over here. But wouldn't Hay Wilder also be massive over here and pretty big in America?
Hay's shown in his last two fights that he can fight anyone and it's massive. But let's hope he doesn't continue that. But so if he does fight a Wilder or another big name opponent who isn't British, then it's going to be a big deal.
Well,
Hay brings interest.
You're right, mate, you're right. Well, in this week's issue of Box News Magazine, we've got previews of all the fights coming up this weekend, as well as everything you can want to read about Brooke Golovkin, we've got their trainers, we've got Brooke, we've got the editor's opinion. Also in the magazine, we've got a report, a ringside report from Russia of Sergey Kovalev's latest fight that was on a Monday night, which isn't great for our press deadlines. Kovalev got through a tricky one with Isaac Chalemba, as in not tricky, as in it didn't look like Kovalev was going to lose, but he didn't look at his devastating best. That probably, Chalemba probably deserves some credit, but maybe Kovalev overlooked him, because Kovalev does have a fight with Andre Ward that's penciled in for later this year.
I kind of think it was a good thing that Kovalev didn't walk through Chalemba and look amazing. Good from the point of view that I think we were getting a bit carried away with him being the Terminator and unstoppable, and was going to walk through Andre Ward, which nobody could really could do. This has kind of been a reality check on Kovalev. Chalemba is tricky and he is tough. You know, Kovalev, maybe he had a slight off night, but you know, he isn't a Terminator, so he is, you know, as we said, he's been humanised. So
yeah, and I suppose instead of just taking an easy knockover job, like, you know, I think Najib Mohammadi was a yeah. mandatory. Kovalev took him out pretty easy. Yeah. Instead of a fight like that, he had someone who did give him things to think about, which might be useful.
Yeah, do you know what? Going 12 difficult rounds wouldn't have done him any harm. You know, against a half decent guy, somebody who's a bit tricky and tough. You know, there are positives from that.
Now, I thought before this fight, I would have picked Ward to beat Kovalev.
Yeah.
So now I'm even more convinced that Ward will win.
Yeah.
But how do you see that fight going?
Yeah, I mean, I would still pick Ward to beat him, but Kovalev is very good. He does punch hard. It's still a really good fight. You know, if we took the Chalemba fight away from the scenario, then it's a mouth-watering fight. But you know, that sort of just, you know, we tempered our opinion of him a little bit. I would still pick Ward though.
I mean, outside of Canelo actually fighting Golovkin, is Kovalev Ward one of the best fights to be made?
Yeah,
is there a better one? Because the funny thing with this year is that it's been eventful. We've had big fights, and we're gonna have big fights in September. But a lot of the biggest ones could be pretty one-sided.
Yeah, I mean, the other fight that was announced recently was Roman Gonzalez. It's Carlos Quadras. That's a really good fight. Gonzalez again going up another division. Probably the best fighter in the world, isn't he? That's a really good fight.
No, so you're not bored of boxing yet?
Eh?
You're not bored of boxing yet?
No.
All right. Well, on that note, if you're not bored of boxing yet, get this week's issue of Boxing News Magazine. There's plenty more in there. Features, great amateur section, news, interviews, everything. But from us, it's goodbye, and thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for listening.